Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay, and thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, June 25th. Coming up today, we'll hear from the founder of a Kent baby loss charity who's reached out to Kelsey Parker following the news her son has been born sleeping. We've also spoken to experts in Kent who are part of an experiment to see if tea can be grown in space. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Aherne Bay girl suffered a badly broken leg after being hit by a car while scrolling on her phone. Dashcam video at Kent Online shows 12-year-old Lola walking straight out in front of the vehicle as she messaged friends on Snapchat. It happened in Greenhill Road. Nicola's been chatting to Lola's dad, Josh Baker.
She finished school. She got the bus as usual, coming home off the bus, walking down the road as she does every day. She's sort of glancing at her phone, messaging some friends, and she stepped out into the road on the pedestrian crossing, and the car's already there as she sort of stepped out. So she's fractured both sides of her ankle, with tibia and fibula being detached from her ankle joint as well. So the operation was to put two pins in the shin to hold the bones, plus one going through her whole entire ankle, with all the mechanism around it to hold it all in place. We're looking at a second operation to then change it to a cage or put plates in, and possible skin graft dependent on the deformity of this scar that's been left over the fracture.
Goodness me. So really, really serious injuries. And this whole thing as well was caught on dash cam. I mean, that must have been horrendous for you to see after it had happened.
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely horrible. All I'd done straight away was try to grab her from the phone. It's you're shouting at the phone at your door, trying to stop. It was horrible to see. It was a longer clip. We've got a shortened clip. You still hear a scream at the end, and that is just absolutely disheartening. It's horrible. It tore me apart, that did.
Yeah, I can't imagine, Josh. That's absolutely awful. And you mentioned that Lola was on her phone at the time. Do you think that really distracted her from looking and before she crossed the road?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's sort of it's a day in, day out walk for her. So she's just doing the muscle memory, walking the route as she would on her phone. And yeah, she's not glanced, and cost this. It could have been a lot worse, 100% a lot worse. It's lucky she got away with what she got. It was not nice.
And kids who are looking at their phones all the time, they kind of penned this nickname of phone zombies. Is that what you think they turn into? They're just staring down at their phones all the time. You want to issue a warning, really, don't you?
That's it. Yes, they are. They're not just staring at them, but they are doing active things. They're communicating, or they're doing things on social medias, and they're being active on their phones. It's not all just staring at them, but they need to be aware of their surroundings, and especially now with electric cars as well. It's the roads, they're quiet, people don't know, you don't know there's a car there. You need to be actively looking, and it just takes 1 second just to step off your phone and have a look around.
After it happened, obviously it's left Lola with really bad injuries. Are you thinking perhaps she shouldn't have her phone with her? But I mean, obviously parents want kids to have their phones because for safety, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reason we've got a phone in the first place. It's for the safety. Going into secondary school, needing communication, that's a little safety barrier for ourselves. So I think having a phone is necessary for any young child going into secondary school. And as long as it's monitored correctly and the right platforms are used for the children. For when they're walking across the street, there needs to be some more, maybe not rules, it's hard to place. It's just more awareness, again, of the phone use and where to use them and where to not be paying attention. Sitting down in a park, fine. Walking across the road, definitely not fine.
Lola faces being off school until September and may need more surgery.
Kent Online reports.
A woman's been charged after a young girl was bitten by a dog in Raynham. 3-year-old Bunny needed plastic surgery following the attack in Mears Court Road last Tuesday afternoon, but has since been discharged from a London hospital. 50-year-old Tracy Inkpen from Broadview Avenue in Gillingham has been released on bail ahead of a court appearance. A man's been arrested following reports a woman had been sexually attacked at a flat in Ramsgate. It's alleged to have happened on June 18th. The 36-year-old suspect has been released on bail while investigations continue. It's believed a fire that broke out at a home in Sheerness over the weekend was started by a disposable barbecue. Five engines were called to Leicester Gardens in Warden on Saturday night. There were no reports of any injury. It's prompted a warning from fire bosses to make sure barbecues have cooled down before throwing them away.
Kent Online News.
There have been major delays on the trains as Southeastern have been carrying out urgent repairs. All lines were closed between Sittingbourne and Gillingham after a fire caused significant damage to signalling cables at Raynham yesterday. It's caused a big impact for those on the morning commute. Elsewhere, Eurostar services have been delayed after two people were hit by trains. The two separate fatalities happened on the French high-speed line yesterday. It's caused disruption to services running through Folkestone between London St Pancras and Paris. Now, the founder of a Kent baby loss charity has told us she's reached out to Kelsey Parker to offer support. The podcaster posted on socials on Sunday that her baby son, Phoenix, had been born sleeping a week before he was due. The 34-year-old, whose mum to Aurelia and Bodie, was married to Tom from The Wanted, who passed away in 2022. Nicola's been chatting to Kelly Wells from Making Miracles.
You'll know from the work we've done before, we usually come into that kind of pathway a little bit later and provide counselling support for the families. But now we're actually able to go along when the baby's passed away, visit at the hospital and take casts, like memorial casts of their feet and their hands. And it came about because there was another charity offering this service, which is just beautiful, but they actually had to look to fold the charity. So we saw this as an amazing opportunity to make sure, A, that the service is still provided, but also be able to look after our families the whole way through, from that moment baby passes away all the way up till pregnancy after loss. Actually, we support through that too. So that whole journey now is able to be supported by Making Miracles. So that's really great.
And you mentioned there briefly just how important those tangible objects are to parents. Tell us a bit more about how much they will mean going forward through their grief and their journey.
Yeah, I think obviously with pregnancy loss and baby loss during birth or pregnancy, you don't have any real, you don't have many photos, you don't have many memories. So anything that you can do in that time, and we've got a memory list as well, so ideas such as drawing around the baby on a pillowcase, things like that, little things that you can actually look at later that are tangible and you can pick them up and feel them and touch them, and just having that kind of "it was real, it did happen, my baby mattered" kind of thing. It's just so important to people, and it really helps them in their grieving process too.
And are you finding that the hospitals have been equally good in supporting parents? Because we know that the amount of training now that midwives are getting is so much better, so much more, that they are also signposting parents to the right charities to get that right support, and also make sure that they don't miss out on anything before they leave that hospital setting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously the NHS is overrun and they're so busy, so remembering everything is probably quite difficult. So that's what's so important about things like this and getting the awareness out there. So if anyone does know anyone, I mean, poor Kelsey Parker and her partner Will this week, just a few days ago, have just had a stillbirth. We've reached out to them to say these are things that you could do. I don't know if it that message is going to get through, but if friends and family know about that and can tell them that information, or have heard an article, or on the radio or whatever, they can obviously let people know about what we offer, which is just so important, because it is awareness. And the hospitals are great, but they can't do everything, so they need sectors like ours to come in and help them to make sure that journey for that family is the best it can be in such negative circumstances around a baby dying.
Yeah, I saw Kelsey's message and it was just absolutely heartbreaking. She's gone through so much tragedy already, and then to read that, it was so sad. Yeah. But for someone with her profile to share that she'd been through that experience, how important will that be?
I think it's really important, because so many people feel so isolated and alone in situations and circumstances like these. To see a celebrity be so open to talk about their own, personal loss, and to do it in such a way that she has, I can't believe the amount of grief that lady has been through, and her children too. We support the whole family, so we've got a book and things like that, and play therapy for the kids. So for us, we look at the whole family dynamic and we try and see where we can help them and provide those services. So that's why we reached out to her, just to let her know about what we can do. We can send her all this stuff and hopefully be able to help her and her family navigate the loss of their little baby Phoenix.
And I
So
mean, it must be so hard as well when you kind of live a bit in the social media spotlight, and she'd shared all the joy of being pregnant on social media.
yeah.
Those pictures are all out there. I mean, that's really hard, isn't it? And she's not the only mum who will be sharing pictures, maybe having gender reveals, and then have to then go through a loss. I mean, that looking back at those images, I mean, it does make it really difficult.
Yeah, it's really triggering. But actually, in time, I think those things will provide comfort for her. You know, not right now, because it's a bitter, you know, bittersweet taste of what should have been. You know, baby should have been arriving. I shouldn't be having to look at photos of my pregnancy and that be the only photos we have of our memories with him. But I do think it's really important in time people have something to look back on, and that's why I think the memorial stuff that we do is really important. But also, you know, the dads get left behind. So another thing we've just started doing is we've hired our first male therapist. So he's there if dads just want to talk to another male, or even the females want to talk to a male, because sometimes it's nice to get a different perspective when you're going through grief, or if you're struggling with your other half because you're not grieving in the same way. We've now got different perspective of that.
Bosses fighting plans for a huge garden village near Sittingbourne are facing even more costs after a planning inquiry was extended. Developers want to build 8,400 homes at Hysted Park, but Swale Council are trying to block the scheme. They've already set aside £700,000 to pay for legal costs, which could now go up by another £100,000.
Kent Online reports.
A number of businesses in Kent could be among those fined for underpaying their staff. The latest list from the government includes at least nine sites in the county that haven't been paying the correct wages. Anyone caught doing the wrong thing could see financial penalties of 200% of the underpayment, plus having to pay all workers what they're owed. An Indian takeaway in Folkestone has been given a one-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found mouldy chopping boards and holes in the kitchen floor. Ivy was also discovered growing next to a broken toilet in the staff area of the New Delhi on Sandgate Road. The owner's been told to make urgent improvements. A meeting's been held to discuss growing concerns about antisocial behaviour in Herne Bay. In yesterday's podcast, we heard from Councillor Dan Watkins about the impact it's having on residents. Business owners also gathered in King's Hall yesterday evening to tell their side of the story. Local Democracy reporter Ollie Leader was at the meeting and spoke to Cathy Atwell, who runs Herne Bay Homestays.
It's been an ongoing problem for quite a while now, but over the last few months it's got progressively worse. It's escalated from sort of verbal altercations into physical altercations with myself and my business partner, and then the foreign students that we have coming to visit Herne Bay. They're verbally attacked, lots and lots of racist remarks. Physically abused. They've had rocks and stones thrown at them. The local children are using catapults against them, and basically they're just causing an awful lot of trouble.
And how many, because you bring so much business,
we do.
There's so many people to Herne Bay. You hear a breakdown, like what your business does, how many people come over here?
Okay, so roughly within a year, we host about 10,000 short stay students. They come and stay with local host families for 4 or 5 nights, and they just come and they sightsee with their schools. They're at secondary school age, about 13, 14, and they literally just want to come and see England and experience our culture. And the only culture that they're getting at the moment is the local children in Herne Bay sort of upsetting them and not giving them a good impression of Herne Bay whatsoever, so much that they don't want to return. There's a lot of money that comes through from the students' own money that they bring to spend in Herne Bay and, you know, other sites that they visit, and the money that obviously we pay to the host family. So we generate about £3 million into the town every year, and that's in danger of not being given to the town anymore.
Police have said they have a team in the town dedicated to tackling the problem. A Michelin star chef is offering a £1,000 voucher for a restaurant near Canterbury to raise money for his niece's life-saving surgery. Maeve Duffy has been diagnosed with a brain tumour. Her uncle, Dan Smith, is the co-owner of the Fordwich Arms. Anyone who makes a donation to her fundraiser will go in the drawer and a winner will be picked at random. There have been tributes to one of the county's longest-serving journalists who's died at the age of 97. Alan Bignall worked for the Kent Messenger in many roles, including chief reporter and news editor, in a career that spanned more than 50 years. He was known for covering local government issues and was a familiar face at County Hall in Maidstone, where major decisions that shape Kent are made. He passed away earlier this month and is being remembered as a kind, patient and thoughtful man.
Kent Online News.
Experts in Kent are investigating whether tea can be grown in space. They've teamed up with producers in Dartmoor and are planting saplings in soil similar to that found on the surface of the moon and Mars. Nicola's been chatting to Professor Nigel Mason, who's leading the project.
We're moving to the stage of instead of going out and exploring space, the idea is to be able to put people into space so that we can exploit space, either on space stations or to build lunar bases. And of course, as soon as you start thinking about people being there to be able to build, make new drugs, build new materials, et cetera, you have to think about what they're going to eat. And so there is a new field called space agriculture, which is the idea of what foods you can grow in space because it's expensive to take things up there. And it's also well known that if people are isolated for long periods of time, it's 6 months, there's a lot of mental health, good positive vibes by growing your own food.
It sounds a bit like, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Martian, where he gets stranded on Mars and tries to grow some potatoes. I mean, how close is that to actual reality?
Well, we're not growing potatoes. They're a little bit bigger. We already have a Chinese landing on the moon, and they did show that you could germinate seeds on the moon in the soil. But yes, there are some overlaps because, of course, since you start thinking about growing things, you have to think about fertilizer. And yeah, you can guess what might be freely available from the astronauts.
And tell us, what on earth is the soil like on the moon, or indeed in Mars, and how much of it have we got, and how are you recreating it back here?
They're basically basaltic materials, and we know what they're made of, and so we can make analogues of that. In fact, interestingly, one of the best places for getting that is also from Greenland, which has also been in the news recently. But the soil itself is well known geologically. It's a basaltic soil, which we can use, as I say. So we know what it is. And the Martian soils, they're a bit more complicated. But again, we have good mimics of that.
How long is this research going to take? When will you know if we could successfully grow tea on either the moon or on Mars?
Well, the plan is that we're planning to grow it, to transfer it from the nice loamy soils from Dartmoor into the Martian soil, into a lunar type soil, and also into a sandy soil, an Earth equivalent of a sandy soil. And we'll be doing that at the beginning of July, and we're planning for it to grow for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, we will measure how much it has grown, and we'll be able to compare with it growing in nice, you know, Devon soil compared to the other soils. And we're going to do this twice. We're going to do two runs over the summer. So in September, we should be able to report the results of whether your tea plants enjoy growing on the moon.
The owners of a new coffee shop in Gravesend say they want to bring a taste of London to the town. Aero Bike and Bean has opened inside the cycle hub next to the railway station. It's run by friends Brad Smith and Joe Tomlin, who are hoping to offer specialty, high-quality coffee, especially for commuters. Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan have been spotted in Kent. It's as production's underway for the latest instalment of The Trip. Cast and crew were at Hat Hat's Coffee in Reculver. The new series will see the pair take a trip to see the Northern Lights. Meanwhile, one of the stars of Afterlife has spent a day at an animal sanctuary in Kent. BAFTA-nominated actress Diane Morgan, who's also known for Kunk on Britain, visited the Retreat Animal Rescue Farm in High Holden. The 49-year-old is also an ambassador of animal equality.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and defender Connor Masterson has signed a new deal with Gillingham. The 26-year-old has played over 100 league games for the Gills and started every game under new manager Gareth Ainsworth. He's been speaking to the club's media team.
I know I'm buzzing, obviously. I know the club inside out, and I've loved here, played my best football here, and I'm just excited to get going again. Had a good chat with Gareth and yeah, I'm looking forward to it now.
How keen were you to get it done before pre-season began? Because I suppose you don't want to be waiting a week and then you're playing catch-up.
Yeah, exactly. That was the plan, that was the aim. So that's what I did. I just wanted to sort things out and speak to my agent, speak to my family, speak to everybody and come to the right conclusion, and that's what I did.
Been home to see your family? I think I saw on social media you've been back. A nice thing for you to do.
Yeah. I obviously, going back home, seeing my family, going on holidays as well. It's a nice break and I've enjoyed it, but I'm actually ready to go now. So I've had my time off. I'm looking forward to getting back going.
You seem to have an affinity with this club. I think two loan spells, then a permanent stay. You've extended your contract now. What's it about this place that has kept you wanting to come back?
I think the connection with the fans I have, the good times we've had here, I played my best football here in my career, so I just feel like it's a good fit and I'm raring to go and I want to go on the journey again, so I'm looking forward to it.
The new contract keeps him at the club for another year. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu says it felt incredible to win her opening match at the Eastbourne International. The 22-year-old British number one from Orpington fought back from a set down to beat Anne Lee. It was her first match back after missing last week's Berlin Open due to a back injury. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code LucyHickmott, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.